The sports desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy.
Brandon Batista, give me the rock. Here it goes. Up, up, and away. Slam jam, bam. And now he does a little dance.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. Today is Sunday, March 5th, 2023, and it's my official duty to welcome you into episode 329 of the Buckeye Extra Men's Basketball Podcast. Welcome to Jubilation City. Welcome to the postseason. I don't know how long Ohio State will be here, but we've got a twofer episode here. We're going to go over Saturday's regular season finale at Michigan State and then look ahead to the Big Ten tournament. I had planned on recording a podcast Saturday night, but by the time I got out of the Breslin Center, drove home, stopped and had dinner with my parents on the way in Toledo, yeah, it was just really late and I needed to get some sleep. So it didn't make a lot of sense to record something quickly and then also then record something on a Sunday night once we got the Big Ten tournament bracket. So this seemed to be the best of both worlds. Knock something out here where we'll go over the game, go over some of the impressions of being there on senior day, and also look ahead to now what the path looks like for Ohio State. It's rough. let's put it that way. But this to get this one started, again, senior night at the Breslin Center and some familiar themes for Ohio State in this game, but then ultimately somewhat of an unfamiliar, at least until the last 2 weeks or so, push. So this is a game that Ohio State only led for 36 seconds. Yes, Ohio State scored on the first possession of the game. Bryce Sensabaugh got fouled, hit two free throws, which Ohio State only attempted two free throws in the first meeting between these teams, which is just an abomination against all of the basketball gods that like points. Obviously, Ohio State scored 41 in that game. It's fewest in years. And then Michigan State tied it on the next possession. Justice Suing scored, 4-2 lead for Ohio State. And then a theme that would play out, A.J. Hogard with a three-pointer in the corner. It kind of rolls, falls. Michigan State goes up 5-4. It was the start of a significant game-changing and essentially game-sealing run for the Spartans. Ohio State would go 6 minutes and 54 seconds without another bucket and fall behind 17-4 in the process as Michigan State just kind of did what it needed to do offensively. Got some wide open threes in transition, pushed the tempo offensively. Ohio State struggled to generate good looks for a little bit of a stretch there, but then ultimately would fight back. And that's what we'll talk a lot about that here going forward. But it was still at the half. Ohio State trailed by 9, and the deficit got as high as I'm flipping through all these different pages here. Deficit got as high as 13 points, and that was at that 17-4 mark. Then Ohio State kind of dug in and made it interesting and continually threatened to make it interesting. Got it to 5, got it to 6, got it to 6, got it to 6, and all during the second half. Got it to 7, and then was down 12. And this was on a drive from Tyson Walker, who pushed it to 61-49. Kind of bounced around the rim, fell through. And then again, it still was a 10-point deficit, 64-54, after another three, this one from Jaden Akins. And you just kind of assume Ohio State's done, especially when they hit another three later, another wide-open three, this one from Joey Hauser, that made it 67-57. But then Ohio State put together a run. It started with Bryce Sensabaugh getting fouled on a drive, hitting two free throws with 6:58 left to cut it to 8. Justice Ewing came up with a steal. He found Sean McNeil on the fast break. Ohio State cuts it to 67-61. Trade a couple of empty possessions. Bruce Thornton hits a three-pointer. It is 67-64, and the crowd at the Breslin Center is anxious. And Michigan State calls timeout with 5:28 to go. The Buckeyes are roaring, heading back to the to the bench. But then the Spartans get the ball in the hands of Tyson Walker. He gets a matchup with Isaac Likely. Ice plays pretty solid defense, but he gets to the rim, somehow finishes. Tom Izzo said afterward he didn't know how this bucket went in, but it did. That pushed it back to 5. And then that was kind of the backbreaker. Ohio State did not get a shot on the next possession, turned it over right as the shot clock was buzzing. Still forced a miss, forced a Tyson Walker miss. But then Sensabaugh kind of took it upon himself to try to get a bucket. on an ISO play, got in the paint. Tough shot. Wasn't a good shot. It didn't fall. And then Ohio State gets called. Ice gets called for a blocking foul on a AJ Hogarth drive. Could have been a charge, but he hits the 1-1 at the under 4 media timeout. That pushes it to 7. And then, boy, do we have a run here. Ohio, between Michigan State and Ohio State, they combined for points on 11 straight possessions. So while Ohio State's offense started to get going, could not come up with defensive stops that they needed, couldn't come up with clean defensive stops that they needed. Michigan State got some good free throw shooting to help salt this one away. But the Buckeyes made him sweat. And I can tell you that you could feel it in that arena that the pressure was starting to really ratchet up on the Spartans. But ultimately, they had enough experience and they were the ones that were able to make the plays that they needed to down the stretch. Now, you look at some of the final statistics in this game. Bryce Sensabaugh led Ohio State with 21 on 7 of 15 shooting, but he struggled to open this game. And he will be the first to tell you that. We'll get more into his post-game thoughts and sort of his self-analysis. But it came up very quickly in our conversation with him that he took a lot of the blame for what happened early on. He, missed his first three shots, which means that he made 7 of his final 12 in this game, playing at Michigan State on senior day, a place where, as I pointed out in the story, in the pregame video that I posted to the socials, Michigan State has not lost on senior day since William Buford hit his last second jumper to hand Ohio State a share of the Big Ten title all those years ago. So the Spartans have now won yet another senior day game. Third one against Ohio State in that stretch, by the way. This is the third time now I've covered Ohio State losing at Michigan State on senior day. This one was more competitive than the other ones. I will certainly say that much. But anyway, Sensabaugh led Ohio State with 21 points. Bruce Thornton had 20. He was 4 of 8 from 3. Both of those are career highs. Sean McNeil had 11 off the bench. And then I think this is one of the more impressive stat lines of the season, kind of given how things have gone and given the criticism that this particular player has taken. Justice Suing in this game had 10 points. He's 4 of 10 from the floor. He was 0 of 3 from 3. I would say at least one of them he should not have taken, maybe two of them. You know, at some point, at least one of the threes that he attempted was in the flow of the offense. It didn't fall. Yeah, the way he shot this year, you probably shouldn't shoot that, but I think it would have disrupted things more had he not taken it than had he just given it a chance. But anyway, he finishes with 10 points. He finishes with a game-high 9 rebounds. He also finishes with a team-high 7 assists. And then one of the things that I feel like has really held Suing back this season has been his propensity to turn it over maybe one or two more times than you would expect from a sixth-year guy. He had 7 assists and 1 turnover in this game, and he played a team-high 33 minutes and 46 seconds. He's finishing the season on a pretty high note, and I did get to that and get to him in post-game, or in the post-game notebook. I mean, Holtman cited him specifically and just said he thought he was phenomenal, and Izzo also said how Suing's been really good down the stretch here. Otherwise, Ohio State got a couple of buckets from everybody else. They only played 8 guys, which is definitely the rotation at this point here. But Akpara had 4 points, 3 rebounds. Roddy Gale, 4 points, 1 rebound. Gene Brown, 5 points, 3 rebounds. And Ice had 3 points. He shot put it in a 3-pointer from the right corner for his only made field goal of the game. He otherwise missed 2 buckets in the paint. Only had 1 rebound, finished no assists, 2 turnovers, 1 steal. I thought that his turnovers were unforced. They were traveling violations, which you wouldn't necessarily expect from a fifth-year guy and someone who's played as much college basketball as Ice. Ohio State only finished with 8 turnovers in this game, as did Michigan State. But Spartans were led. A.J. Hogarth had 23. Joey Hauser had 16. Tyson Walker had 15. Jaden Akins had 13. And Malik Hall had 10. One of the separators in this game was the fact that Michigan State shot so well from 3. And the Spartans have really done that down the stretch. They've proven themselves to be a really solid 3-point shooting team. They're 8 of 14 from 3 in the first half. And they only attempted six during the second half. They made four of them. So they finished 12 of 20, shooting 60% from three in this game, which outpaced Ohio State, which as a team shot 48.3% from the floor, 44% from three, and 91.2% from the line. The Buckeyes were 11 of 12 from the free throw line. After going 20 for 20 in the last game, Ohio State made his first nine in this game before Gene Brown had a miss on the 10th free throw attempt of the game for Ohio State. Spartans controlled the tempo, and I felt like really ran on Ohio State more than just about anybody has this season, especially early. That seemed to be a real big separator. Like, they were running off of everything and getting behind Ohio State, getting wide open transition threes. Ohio State got better at that as the game went on, but it ended up to a 23-9 advantage in fast break points. And you think about how many Ohio State games this season have we watched where there has been zero fast break points, two fast break points. Like, for there to be 32 in this game, there was a little bit more tempo to it for sure. But then you also look at this was a surprising stat to me, but Ohio State finished with seven offensive rebounds. Michigan State had six offensive rebounds. Ohio State won, or the rebounding battle tied 29-29. But Ohio State turned its seven offensive rebounds into an 11-2 advantage in second chance points. I also should mention, in looking at Sensabaugh's stat line, he had two assists before he had a made field goal. And one of the things that got Ohio State's offense moving early was he started driving, but then kicking to an open teammate for an open three. And that seemed to shake a few things loose and give him a couple more opportunities that Ohio State was able to take advantage of later. But I thought there were times where he was the most impactful distributor that I've seen from him this season. Again, he contributes to a night where Ohio State finishes with 15 assists and only eight turnovers. So that sends Ohio State into the postseason at 18 overall, 5-15 in the Big Ten. The Buckeyes earned the number 13 seed in the Big Ten tournament, although I'm not sure if you would say earn when you're second to last. The Buckeyes finish maybe as the 13th seed in the Big Ten tournament, but I would say undisputably have been playing better basketball here in the last 2 weeks. So we'll get more into that and what is up next here in a moment. Before we do, though, I want to remind you that you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, wherever else you enjoy the finest of podcasts. If you subscribe, you'll automatically get the newest ones as soon as our man, Patrick Flaherty, the Podfather, can grab them and get them published for you. While you're subscribing or downloading, please leave a review. Please click 5 stars and please do consider telling a friend. Thanks to everyone who has supported the podcast along the way. So one more thing about Bryce, and I thought this was a interesting sort of peek into the workings of this team and the makeup of this team. We talked to Bryce Sensabaugh first, and by we, I mean myself, and there were two other people there. So shout out to everybody who subscribes to the Dispatch and enables us to be at every game, because I can bring you unparalleled coverage because we have unparalleled access, because we treat every game with importance and we value being there and getting all this information firsthand and taking you along for the ride. So thank you, everyone. The podcast is obviously free, but everyone who does click and subscribe and makes that possible, it is very much appreciated, especially on a game like this where, you know, Ohio State did come within like another stop and a bucket of historic, probably too big of a word, because at the end of the day, that would have moved Ohio State to 14-17 overall and 6-14 in the Big Ten and wouldn't have changed anybody winning or losing a title, but would have broken, you know, a significant streak for Michigan State of winning on senior day. But this is something when we spoke to Bryce Sensabaugh first, and I asked him about a stretch early in the game, you know, you give up a 15-0 run that really seems to set the tone and you're just chasing the game from there. And Bryce took the blame. He said he was forcing things. He was trying to do too much. He didn't let the game come to him. He said a lot of that is on my shoulders. That's my fault. Now, that's the first time I've heard Bryce say something like that. And we don't talk to him after every game, but he clearly took personal accountability for what had gone wrong in that stretch. So then from there, we talked to Justice Suing next. And that was brought up to Justice that, hey, Bryce said that he was forcing things early. He blamed himself for that stretch. It felt like it got better as the game went on. What did you see? And Justice said, Bryce has shown a tremendous amount of growth over the entire season. I'm proud of him. That's my young fella. He's going to continue to make strides throughout his career, whatever he's doing. Obviously, that I think we're getting closer and closer to, you know, this could very well be the end of Bryce Sensabaugh's time at Ohio State. But just assuming saying that Bryce is, quote, my young fella, like, I've had a lot of people interject that they believe that those two clearly don't like each other, or there's been a divide between the freshmen and the seniors on this team. The way they're playing now, with nothing to play for other than like pride and the fact that they look most like a team as they have in months or weeks, like, I was not hearing that there was a divide on the team at that time. And things like this continue to add to that in my viewpoint on this team, that it, we'll have a whole off season to dissect exactly what went wrong, or, you know, what the numbers tell us and all of that. But, you know, I just thought the way that Justice talked about Bryce provided just a little bit of insight into how these guys, you know, feel about each other and, you know, some of the relationships that are definitely there. So, as I mentioned a moment ago, it's, if you've been watching this whole season, it's inarguable, that this team is playing better basketball right now. And I would argue this might be the best basketball that Ohio State has played consistently all season. You go back to the Penn State game. You know, Ohio State comes off of having lost at Purdue 82-55. I came away from that game thinking they may not win another game. They're 3-14 in the Big Ten. It just got run off the court at Purdue, at least when they got beat at Iowa 3 days prior, which was a 17-point loss. Like, they were down 28 and they made a late run. And you could see that, like, they were able to cut into that. And maybe in hindsight, some of it's just that Purdue is that much better for Ohio State, and there's just not a matchup for Ohio State that is going to enable them to win on a Sunday afternoon at Mackey. But I did not necessarily think coming out of that Purdue game that we'd be sitting here 2 weeks later saying, okay, well, Ohio State went 2-2 in the last four and played pretty solid basketball. But that's where we are. You know, you have a 4-point home loss to Penn State, which I'm sort of chalking that one up as well to, like, you go down this stretch, and if they hadn't lost eight straight going into that game, I think they probably win that Penn State game. But you lose that game by four, you beat Illinois, you beat Maryland, and then you lose that Michigan State on senior day by six. Like, even if you don't just look at the results, like, they've played better basketball. You can see it. Now, the defense was not there against Michigan State. This was the second highest adjusted offensive efficiency rating of the season in a loss for Ohio State. So normally when Ohio State is scoring at the rate that it was scoring against the Spartans, the Buckeyes have won this season. They did not in this game because they could not get stops. I mean, Sparty shot 54.7% from the floor and 60% from three. The defense that had played so well against Maryland and against Illinois just did not have enough answers against Michigan State. But when you look at how some of these guys are playing in this stretch, and you look at how, you know, not even just the results or the numbers, but just the eye test, they're more fun to watch right now. They're sharing the ball better. The offense is flowing a little bit better. There's still hiccups and there's still things that don't go right. And obviously they're 2-2 in those four. So, you know, it's not like we're talking about a team that's going to go out and win a title or anything crazy like that. But I think it's both. It comes across a bit as a backhanded compliment, and I don't know that it should be intended in that way. But the fact that Ohio State is playing like this at this point of the season, to me, feels like a credit to the guys on this roster and the coaching staff that they have not packed it in. And if you want to say at the end of the day that's giving someone a participation trophy, I can hear that argument and I understand it. And I'm sympathetic to that argument, because the flip side to this, obviously, is that you should have figured this out a month ago, 2 months ago, when you actually had something to be playing for. But then the flip side to that is that these guys have nothing to be playing for right now, other than pride and other than each other. And you could very easily, at this point, like I said, coming off that Purdue loss, I just assumed they may not win again. And we're going to be talking about a team that is 3-17. Like, that's, when they're 3-13 coming off a 28-point loss at Purdue, You know, as I quoted Franz Ferdinand earlier in the podcast, it's bleak, it's bleak, it's bleak, it's bleak. Like, that seemed to be where this was headed. But they have rediscovered themselves a little bit right now. And I think that is a credit to these players and this coaching staff that they did that, that they have had enough attention and they've had enough buy-in that they have not just rolled over and been done. The downside of that is, again, there's nothing really to play for at this point. This is a dead season for Ohio State. The Buckeyes will open the Big Ten tournament here on Wednesday in the first game as the 13 seed. They'll play 12 seed Wisconsin. And this is crazy to me as just an aside here, but Wisconsin, which is on the bubble, probably on the wrong side of it. The way the Big Ten is all just a jumble, I honestly couldn't tell you. But Wisconsin is 17-13 overall and went 9-11 in the league and finished 12th. The Badgers are 73rd at KenPom. Now, Ohio State, which finished 13-18 overall, 5-15 in the Big Ten, so four games behind the Badgers and firmly in 13th place. The Buckeyes are 57th at KenPom. This team, they have been computer trickers all year. And I think some of it is just a product of a bunch of close losses early, coupled with some blowout wins and just some better numbers from the predictive metrics than the results have borne out. But yeah, this team has just tricked the computers all year. And once again, the Buckeyes are 16 spots higher than a Wisconsin team that's likely going to make the NCAA tournament, or at least has a chance. And Ohio State needs to do something that's like, well, Ohio State's basically straight up not going to make the NIT. So we'll get into that here right now. Ohio State's 63rd in the net as of Sunday morning, by the way. Wisconsin is 78th. So again, make sense of it. But in order for Ohio State to reach the NIT, because I've gotten a lot of questions about this, there used to be one of the selection criteria was you had to be at least 500. Well, the net or the NIT has relaxed that requirement, although no team since they've relaxed that has received an at-large bid to the NIT without a 500 record. So keeping that in mind, if Ohio State were to, in order for Ohio State to get to 500, it would have to win five straight. It would get to 18-18. So in order to do that, we'd have to win Big Ten or tournament title, which then obviously would put them in the NCAA tournament, because they would receive the auto bid. So say Ohio State were to make it to the championship game but lose and go 4-1, that puts Ohio State at 17-19. So still two games under 500. That's not getting you in the NIT. So this team is NCAA tournament or bust, or you know, Big Ten tournament championship or bust, rather. And history would suggest that is not possible. Now, when you look at the history of the Big Ten tournament, since the league expanded to 14 teams and they started playing games on Wednesday, no team that has participated in the first day slate of games has won more than two games. So, and that's happened, I think, six times. One of the four teams to play on the first day of the tournament have been still playing on Friday, but that's where they've run out of gas. You're playing a top four seed at that point that is fully rested. You're playing your third game in 3 days. It makes sense why that has not happened. Ohio State's path, as it stands, is an opening round game against Wisconsin. It's a game that will be played on Wednesday at 5:30 Central Time, so 6:30 East Coast time. And then the winner of that game will earn a second round matchup with number 5 seed Iowa in a game that will be played Thursday at approximately 2:30 p.m. Eastern. The winner of that game would draw number 4 seed Michigan State in the quarterfinals on Friday in a game that would also be at about 2:30 Eastern. Winner of that game would get number 1 Purdue on Saturday, and then you go from there. And that's assuming that Purdue would beat the winner of 9 seed Rutgers and 8 seed Michigan. That's a tough, sure, you go into it and you say, you know, UConn, a couple years ago, UConn ran through through its conference tournament on its way to a national championship. Like there's a path. It has happened before. And yes, it did happen before. But to think that is in the realm, to me, It means that you're assuming that you have an Ohio State team that has something that's or that can that it can do something that's literally not done all year. Ohio State to win five straight games. Ohio State has not won more than three straight games all season. And that was to open the season. And then a three-game stretch where they beat Maine, Alabama, A&M, and Northwestern from December 21st through January 1st. Ohio State has three wins since then. Two of them were in a row. But for as well as Ohio State is playing right now, I can't sit here and say that I can close my eyes and imagine a scenario where the Buckeyes have won five straight and are cutting down nets at the United Center on Sunday and getting ready to presumably go to Dayton to go play in the first four. I have a very difficult time seeing that happen. But that doesn't discount the fact that, again, this team is playing its best basketball of the season at the right time. It just happens to be that there's not a whole lot to play for right now. So here's what Bryce Sensabaugh said about that after the game. He said, now as it's getting late, we take it upon ourselves to take a swing back as a team and do it together rather than trying to get points back by ourselves. We took it upon ourselves to come together late in the season, and I think it's been good for us, swinging back together as a team, trusting the right play, trusting the right pass, and locking up on the defensive side. Obviously, they didn't lock up on the defensive side against Michigan State, but I think his point is well heard at this point. Justice Suing as well, he said, quote, I'm confident in our positioning right now, especially the way everyone's playing together. Our mentality, our process, getting ready for games, we're stepping on the floor expecting to win. It's a thing we have with our walk, how we're expected to play, Buckeye basketball. We're going in there ready to get to it. So number 13 seeds are 6-8 all time in the Big Ten tournament. Ohio State had previously never been lower than an 11 seed, which was the last time that Ohio State played on the first day, obviously. And that was in 2017 when number 14 seed Rutgers knocked off number 11 seed Ohio State and ended Thad Matta's tenure at Ohio State. And what was just an ugly game and a brutal way for it all to go out. And then during memory that I will have from that game is going into the, well, coming out of the under four timeout, game still very much in reach. And Micah Potter standing on the Ohio State bench, pounding on his chest and pointing at Mark Loving and just begging him to leave it on the court and to give it all, give it his all. And the rest is history, but that was not what transpired. And again, that was the last game of the Thad Matta era. And I always think about Micah Potter just begging Mark Loving to give them something else, give them something more. So one other thing about why it seems like Ohio State has been playing better of late. Ohio State was 17 for 33 from two against the Spartans. So that's just better than 50%. That's the fourth straight game now that Ohio State has made at least half of its two-point field goals. And that might not sound like much because that's something that this team has historically done at a pretty high rate. The last Ohio State team to really struggle at this was, actually, Holtman's second and third teams both shot 49.7% from two. But you look at these past two seasons, Ohio State was 54% from two last year and 52.2% the year before. Ohio State's sitting at 50.8% on the season. But when you break that down to in Big Ten play, there's a pretty wide discrepancy here. So Ohio State, in its last four games now, is shooting 55.7% from inside the arc. That's they're 84 for 151. In its prior 16 Big Ten games, so at that point, Ohio State was 3-13. Ohio State shot 46.1% on its twos. This is a common talking point that they were not getting easy looks. They were not getting to the rim. They weren't finishing if they did. They were taking a lot of contested shots. They were making bad choices when they got to the paint. Ohio State shooting 55.7% from two in its last four games after shooting 46.1% from two in its prior 16 Big Ten games. That probably has as much to do with anything on why this offense looks better, clicks better, just seems to be more connected. Guys are getting higher percentage shots and they're making them. What does that mean for a run in Chicago? No idea. And again, history would tell us that at best, that means the Buckeyes will still be playing on Friday, but we'll see. I'm not really sure what else to say there. So two more things to get into before I wrap this one up. I've gotten a lot of questions from our tech subscribers about Tanner Holden. I've gotten a lot of tweets about this as well, but admittedly, I'm spending less time on Twitter these days. Too many people questioning my manhood and things that are not enjoyable to constantly be subjected to. But a lot of questions about Tanner Holden and why didn't he participate on senior day? And is he still on the team? And so here's the Tanner Holden situation. First of all, he still has one more year of college basketball because everyone who participated during the 2020-2021 season and played through the pandemic was given an extra year of eligibility by the NCAA. So Tanner Holden has one more season of college basketball, and he chose not to go through senior day at Ohio State, presumably for that reason. Now, do we think that his final season of college basketball will be at Ohio State? It's hard for me to project that right now, given that even as Ohio State has struggled down the stretch and really struggled for, well, starting with this 9-game losing streak, Tanner, he played 16 minutes in the win against Iowa, and since then has totaled 38 minutes in six appearances. 12 of those came in the loss to Iowa. But in the final 12 games of the season, Tanner has been a healthy, unused substitute in six of them and has played 6 minutes or fewer in five of them. And the only outlier is 12 minutes in a 17-point loss at Iowa. They cut the rotation and he's clearly on the outside of it. And if you want to argue that he should be playing and he should be in the rotation, we don't see practice every day. And whether Tanner ever fully embraced a role of being a reserve and having to come off the bench and really fight his way into the rotation, coming off of what had been an exemplary career at Wright State, I mean, those are questions that only really Tanner and the coaching staff can answer. And we'll see what happens at the end of the season and what that means going forward. But it is worth pointing out that during preseason, there was a lot of talk about what Tanner could do for this team, what kind of impact he could have. And Holman likened his progression to that of a freshman. That by the time they got to January, February, he should start to see an uptick in what he could do and his role and how he could provide for this team. And instead, it declined significantly. So even as the losses were stacking up and the offense was stagnating, he wasn't playing. What does that mean for the future? Again, I don't want to speculate on things that I don't know, but it's not a good sign to be completely honest. And I think that I've had people ask me about like Bowen Hardman and Kalen Etzler, and you know, honestly, a bit of the same. Where if you're on a team that's losing nine straight and you still can't fight your way into the rotation, now there will be more opportunities next year. Because obviously there's going to be a lot of roster turnover here and some of the highest usage guys, you know, Justice Suing will be gone. Isaac Likely will be gone. Sean McNeil will be gone. Bryce Sensabaugh could be gone. Like, it's pretty easy to sell opportunity to be a contributor on a team that is expected to get back to form next year. And I've not gotten one real whiff that any of those guys have been anything other than good teammates and have been good practice players. It just has not been anything to where they've been able to carve out any sort of significant role on a team that has struggled to a historic low. Honestly, I mean, this is the most losses for Ohio State since that 97-98 season that we always reference when things don't go well. So we'll have more answers on that presumably in the next week or two once we get into the off season. But that's what I know right now. I've just gotten a lot of questions about that and about Tanner's status. And also as far as like Bryce's future, I mean, I feel like it's sounding a little bit less likely that he's going to be back. And, you know, Justice, he made a comment. I'm looking for the quote right now. So on senior day, after Ohio State beat Maryland, Justice was asked about Roddy and Felix, because both of them played pretty well in that game. And Justice said, those two guys are going to be great guys in the system. Rod and Fee, that's what they call them. Bruce, all the young guys, Bryce even. You know how that goes, but they're really special guys, special kids. So I don't know. I would be surprised if it's anything like Bryce has said, I am definitely not here next year. But I think that everyone is kind of aware of the situation and kind of maybe some of the writing on the wall. Maybe that writing on the wall is only in pencil right now, but maybe there are some scribbles. There's some doodles up there. Whether they can get out the magic eraser and clear those walls. And this is speaking as someone who... his kids are beyond that stage, but we've been there. Whether that happens or not, we'll have more answers again in another week or so. But it does get a little bit harder to project, especially after, you know, Bryce plays the way that he did at Michigan State. I also feel like he's rebounded the ball better lately too. So that's a credit to him, I think, as well. So I'm going to wrap this one up here. I have a couple of stories that have all gone up over the weekend. I also, by the time you listen to this, I would strongly encourage you, go to dispatch.com and read a story that I finished. I felt very honored to get to tell this. I've been thinking all year about how can I tell some kind of fan perspective story on this season that's not just collecting a bunch of angry tweets from people and cobbling them together and throwing them into something that vaguely resembles a story. And then I got a message on Twitter, a nice one, actually, a polite one, about a group of friends. There's four of them. They call themselves the Buckeye Boys. And they made a pact this year at the beginning of the season to watch every game together. And the story I found very heartwarming and very life affirming. I had a great time talking to these guys. I really put a lot of effort into this story. I think the story is great. I hope that the words don't let anybody down. But I want to give a shout out to Kyle Davis, Dan Sapp, Matt Hughes, and Casey Foster, all four Buckeye Boys. I thoroughly enjoyed my conversation with them and felt really honored to get to tell their story. And you'll be able to read that Monday morning on dispatch.com and buckeyeextra.com. So go click on that. Show those guys some love, because there's some fun anecdotes in there and also just some great life perspective about dealing with some real stuff while also committing to being together with a group of guys through a really tough season. I have some really fond personal memories of the summer that I turned 21 and going to Outer Inn and sitting on the patio outside on summer nights, enjoying the fact that I could legally purchase and drink beer, and watching the Cleveland baseball team that season, which was not a good baseball team. But the experience of doing that with some people that I still consider my closest friends to this day, that sticks with me. That will flash back to me at times. And I got some of that from talking to these guys and just felt it was just a lot of fun writing it. So hopefully you enjoy it. But now I'm going to get out of here and get some sleep. We have Chris Holtman's radio show on Monday. We'll have interviews after that. And then it will be off to Chicago on Wednesday. I will podcast. If there's some kind of crazy news that happens between now and then I'll maybe knock out a shorter one. But otherwise, you'll have something new recorded Wednesday evening. And then like I've historically done, they stay in the tournament and keep winning and keep advancing. Look for a new podcast every day. There'll be shorter ones, but I'll hit some highlights and some key takeaways and thoughts and things like that. We'll see what we can turn up. But this will end this one for now. As always, you can send along your questions, your comments, your love notes, your hate mail, otherwise constructive criticism to me at Adam Jardy on Twitter or ajardy@dispatch.com. Thank you again for listening. And thanks to Patrick Flaherty for helping me with all this. I'll be back with you Wednesday night from Chicago. So until then, take care, be kind, and we'll talk soon.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.